clear. I appreciate your making time to chat to us today. Brona Hammond, the Director of Communications at the Western Cape Education Department. So saying emphatically that they have taken steps to communicate with that school and ask them to adjust their exam timetable so that the Muslim learners will not have to write on Eid on the 5th of June. And reminding us all that religious diversity is something that does need to be considered and is required to be considered by schools in this country. Thanks for explaining that bit about the additional 2 days as well. I think that is a helpful context to have for the bigger discussion that's been going on. So we're going to move from one educational topic straight into another and talk about the issue of subject choices for matric. It's one that I'm busy grappling with in my household because we have a grade 9 learner. I know lots of you are also at this point in this your children's schooling career where there's some really important choices to be made about which subjects they will take for the final phase of their schooling all the way to matric. Now, if you are lucky to be at a school that is well-resourced and able to offer counselling and subject guidance to those children, that's fantastic. That can be immensely helpful. But even with that level of support, it can be quite a scary prospect, making choices that have potentially huge consequences. You know, we're talking here about kids who are only 14 or 15 years old, potentially choosing subjects which influence their access to tertiary study and to career paths thereafter. They're big, big decisions to make. And today we want to talk a little bit about what the choices are, what needs to be considered when making them, and how those choices potentially impact on learners after their school career is over. I'm delighted to welcome on the line Wanga Nchinga, who is the Senior Head of Program in the Faculty of ICT at the Independent Institute of Education. And let me just remind you that they are a private higher education institution offering more than 90 different accredited courses around this country. So they deal with the output at the other end in terms of who has taken what subject and what that gives them access to in terms of further study. Wanga, it's great to have you with us on the show today. Thank you so much for your time and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the introduction and hello to the Cape Talk listeners.
I would like to just invite the listeners, if you are going through this process, if you've got a comment or a question you'd like to pose about the choices, you're very welcome to phone in on 021-446-0567 or send an SMS to 31567. And of course, your voice notes come to 072-567-1567. Wanga, let's start with the basic framework here. Seven subjects required to write matric, and four of those are compulsory, three of them elective. Just remind us what the four compulsory ones are.
So the four compulsory ones are your home language, your second language, mathematics or maths literacy, as well as life orientation. Those are the core four out of the seven that we need to be aware of.
Okay, so every pupil in South Africa, apart from those who've got a special dispensation, for example, who've moved here from another country and might be given an exemption on the language, but basically every South African student will do those two languages, plus either maths or maths lit and life orientation. The choice of the other three then, Wanga, is, we can say completely open, but we know that's not the case. It's going to be a factor of which subjects your school is able to offer in what kind of combinations.
True. And obviously, when you are now choosing what they used to term them as designated subjects, I mean, they are now using the word the elective subjects, one needs to be really strategic over here, irrespective of what the school is offering. You still need to strategize and ensure that one, for example, you choose subjects that are going to allow you a wide range of qualifications that you can get into. Grade 9 is your level 1 of the N2F. So this is the most important decision. And I've heard you on the introduction saying you are experiencing that at home. So it's important for the learners at this stage to really ensure that they choose those subjects that are going to ensure they have a well-rounded education, rather than choosing them for the mere fact that they are easy and they want particular marks in matric.
That's so important. So it's not necessarily a case of choosing the subjects that you do best in because you'll get the highest marks. It's more about the bigger picture of where to from here. Now, this is particularly important when it comes to the maths choice, Wonga, maths versus maths literacy. It's a huge debate. Look, I'm very lucky. My daughter loves maths and she's good at it. So it's an absolute no-brainer for her. She takes pure maths and that's the end of the conversation. It's not as easy, though, for a learner who is struggling in pure maths and would probably get better marks in math literacy. What is your advice for somebody who is sort of sitting on the borderline? Is it better to switch to maths literacy and know that you'll pass, or is it better to carry on with pure maths and maybe get a lower mark but still have a pass in pure maths? Any thoughts on that one?
So your maths core gives you the advantage that you can always convert, right? So I would suggest that really try and stay on in mathematics, the core mathematics. And if need be, I mean, you can always convert to math literacy, but you can't do it the other way around. On the electives, however, you can still choose subjects that are really presenting the what I call the 2022 skills outlook as projected by research. Now, subjects like history, accountancy, physical, and life science, I mean, those are the ones that you should really consider as well going forward if you're really struggling with mathematics in that case.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying if you make the decision to switch to maths lit, make sure that you've got other subjects then to compensate to give your overall picture the right kind of balance. Because, Wonga, talk to us from the perspective of the tertiary institutions. They're not necessarily looking for a one-trick pony. They want a well-rounded individual who can demonstrate a good variety of skills and interests, don't they?
Indeed. So the growth at the moment, if you look at these qualifications, as well as the demand of what the country is looking for, I'm talking job opportunities, the growth is towards the analytical thinking and innovation. So subjects, as I said, like accountancy and physical and life science, including mathematics, by the way, and history, offer you that. They allow the learner to have active learning and learning strategies. And that's what they're looking for. Technology design and programming, critical thinking and analysis, complex problem solving, that is what is required at this stage, as well as emotional intelligence and system analysis and evaluation. And therefore, you shouldn't really be choosing subjects simply because you want to have the best marks in matric, but you have to strategically say, these subjects that I'm choosing are opening doors for me in many institutions, in many qualifications. So you've got to mix them in such a way that you really have many doors open rather than just in aiming for good results without really having an opportunity to progress in higher education.
Mm. So important. Wonga, it's really tough on the student who is sitting here still having no idea what they want to do later on in life. And I say that knowing it because I was one of them. I got to make my matric subject choices completely divided as to whether I was going to pursue a possible career path in medicine or in journalism. And as a result, I think with hindsight, I did something very stupid. I didn't choose. I kept additional subjects so that I could keep going with the sciences and the history and the additional maths and carried this massive workload into matric. And, with hindsight, I shouldn't have done it. And I ended up dropping one of them in matric itself. And I look back and think, it was simply not making a choice what was not the way forward. But it is really tough to be able to hone in on the humanities or the sciences if you don't have a clear direction. For those students who really are in that position, do you think it is helpful to go and have psychometric testing done, or if they have access to career counseling, to go through that at this point?
True. And I mean, to be honest with you, I think it has to be said that it is a bit tough decision, and not especially for a teenager, to truly know what they want to be, let alone qualifications that they need to study for. And you're right, I mean, we have to take this opportunity as higher education as well and really guide the learners. Parents have to go and ask the higher education institutions. I mean, they've got counselors, student counselors, waiting for such situations. it is important to really get out there. If you are unable to get this at home or your parents, then you go to higher education institutions and just ask them, what subjects do I need in order for me to get to a particular qualification? They will be able to list that. What kind of student profile I'm supposed to be in order for me to sustain and really keep up with a 3 or 4 year qualification.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the critical questions you should be asking now. As I said earlier on, grade 9 is your NQF level 1. This is the beginning of things. If you don't choose the subjects wisely, you might get in trouble. I mean, it's a life changing decision, if I can put it that way.
Wonga, somebody asking on the email, Susan, thank you for your email. At what point, if at all, students can change their mind? So if you put in your list of subjects right now, I think it's going to be by September, most schools are asking students to make that decision, and you realize midway through next year that you've really made a terrible mistake. Is it sorry it's too late? Is there any window for students to change their mind and change their subjects midway through that final phase of their schooling?
Not necessarily, because, I mean, that is why we have to play the role of choosing this, because it's got to do with time as well. I mean, you are in grade 9, you're making that choice. You're making that choice that is going to keep up now grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12, and possibly up until you get to higher education. I would say, if you really do not know which subjects to choose, try and choose ones that are going to really open many doors. Add as much electives as possible, in ensuring that you then have more opportunities. I honestly do not think you should limit yourself on, I want subjects which are easy. I think you should be challenging even your thinking here and say, I'm going to go for the hard ones and I'm going to try my best. I mean, for example, on my own, I'm struggling with statistics, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that I've really put in my mind this year and saying, I really want to know how to do this. And that is how learners should be engaging on this. And you really try and do your best. It is about putting more effort, really allocating more time, changing the way you do things, dedicating more time into your education. This is your future. It is about what is needed, not about what you can score.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what should be the determining factor. If you really do not know, speak to your parents, your guardians, ideally a career or student counselor. And those people will be able to really guide you during this time. I really do not see us saying, no, you can choose the easy ones now, and later on you can then change your mind. I think dedicate yourself now. We're talking 3 years, putting up really good fight in ensuring that you then get into a better qualification that can open many doors. Don't forget, a true education that is good, it opens more opportunities for you to get into higher education. Higher education opens more doors for you career-wise. And that is the way you should look at it.
Mm-hmm. Wonga, let's talk about extra subjects. So we mentioned at the start that the requirement for everyone is those 7, the 4 compulsory subjects plus the 3 electives. But we routinely hear matric results at the end or the beginning of January that tell us students got 11, 12, 13 distinctions. Those are the really, really unusual cases. But what's your view on taking an extra subject? Do you think it is a good idea, particularly for a stronger academic learner?
It is. So you have to guide yourself very well here. I mean, if you know that you're very strong and you can speak to your teachers as well, ask them to spend time with you in really strategically planning this. It's like playing a game, this. I don't think you can get ahead without all the stakeholders. You need the parents on board. You need the teachers on board. You need yourself as well on board and really be dedicated. So I would say, if you feel that maybe 1 or 2 more subjects, just to ensure that you get to a particular qualification, go for it. You've got nothing to lose. It is all about really putting in more effort and aiming for the goal. Do not forget to visualize. Put those career opportunities that you want to get to on the wall. Start thinking and believing that you can achieve that, those careers. And that's how it starts. It starts today. and ensuring that you then plan accordingly. You should have at least three or four qualifications that you're aiming for in three or four universities or colleges, and you know exactly what you need to score in order for you to get entry into those universities.
Okay, a final question, a follow-up on the email on the subject of extra subjects. Is there any limit that is put in place to the number of subjects that a child can choose to take, as far as you know?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Sorry, Wonga, the question was, is there any limit or ceiling to the number of additional subjects that a learner can sign up for?
Not that I'm aware of. Obviously, you just need to focus on the seven that you need to get. The compulsory one, I'll say, do not go too much and take too much for yourself. Focus on ensuring that you've got enough to get into that particular career, and that is what you really need. So if I had a choice, I would really stay with seven or eight or nine, and that's it. I'll limit to that if I was a learner. And then I ensure that then I choose subjects which are going to open doors in different careers and different qualifications.
Wonga Nchinga, thank you so much for your assistance this afternoon. Senior Head of Program in the Faculty of ICT at the Independent Institute of Education. Really appreciate your insights.